It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
All right, we are back from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here. We just spoke for quite a bit about the Tommy Stevens situation at Penn State, looking at the quarterback depth chart. And we'll get into that a little bit more here, part of our player profile series. We're working our way down the roster numerically from top to bottom in time for summer camp. And we are at number nine on the roster, Taquan Roberson, a true freshman. So the quarterback depth chart will definitely be discussed as part of this, along with Taquan's abilities and what we think his upside is going to be. Lance Dixon and Daniel George are the other two that we're going to talk about.
Good group.
Sure. Yeah, but the thing is, you know, we've done these in threes, and this is probably, what, the fourth or fifth of these that we've done, I'm guessing. All those can be found at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. All those can be found on the Keystone Sports app. And all of them are good groups because, you know, this was another realization. Like, obviously, you know, Penn State has raised its level of recruiting to the point where, you know, they've got a ton of really good, talented players on the roster. This was a kind of a wake-up call because every one of them comes from a background, for the most part, where they were heralded players at one point in their high school careers, and now they're at Penn State. So Taquan Roberson's from New Jersey. He's a January enrollee. We saw him a little bit at the blue-white game. I think he's got a lot of ability and instinct at the quarterback position. That blue-white game is always unfriendly to freshman quarterbacks, always unfriendly to whoever is guiding that second team, because he saw a lot of the first team defense. He did not have many, if any, prominent pass catchers on his side. The game ends up being super fast, and you know, both he and Michael Johnson Jr. didn't do a whole lot with their opportunities and show that they were freshmen. But in no way, I guess, to lead things off, should that be an indicator of what Taquan Roberson can be. He's a good player. He, you know, of all the quarterbacks that they've recruited since Trace McSorley in 2014, his game reminded me the most of Trace McSorley. All the way down to his frame, they're similar dimensions. I think they're both instinctive and mobile, and they just know how to win football games. And that's exactly what Penn State's looking for, is guys cut from this cloth who might not be big, powerful, you know, make your jaw drop throwers, but they do everything pretty well, and they're intangibles. The best way that you can estimate those in advance, if you're Penn State's coaching staff, seem to back that up and make the whole package better.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I thought that, you know, Taquan Roberson and Michael Johnson Jr., the fact that they both came in early, Dustin, was a pretty big deal in my mind, just simply because of the fact, and it's even more important now, but originally it was just so they could get a head start, because it's not that these guys were behind as high school quarterbacks. They played for two really good programs, but just anytime you can get in there and get going earlier, the sooner the better. And now, I mean, these guys, one of them's going to be the third string quarterback, and the other one's going to be the leader of the scout team, presumably, or maybe that one is this one and the same. But yeah, talk about two guys that at one point, you know, saw no potential path to the field in 2019, and now you're just, you know, you cross your fingers if you're Penn State and hope. But these guys are both just a couple injuries away from being on the field, and Will Levis, of course, is moving up into the second team role. So one of these two has to be the third stringer. I thought you're right about the blue-white game. It's you can analyze it all you want, but it simply comes down to that, you know, if they do something amazing, you say, oh, it's a blue-white game. And if they don't do very well, you say, oh, well, their team was not as good as the other team. So it's really a lose-lose for them in a lot of ways.
And I don't think you can have this discussion without mentioning the fact, now that we're in transfer mode and Tommy Stevens is on his way out, and the quarterback position, even before the NCAA made their rules more friendly for players to have the kind of mobility that they want, transfers were an issue at the quarterback spot anyway. So now you have two freshmen in the same class coming in, Taquan Roberson and Michael Johnson Jr.
Well, and one of those two could transfer at any point too, bingo. Right?
Yeah, it's hard to look ahead 3, 4, 5 years and think that both of these guys are still going to be on the roster. At some point, one of these is gonna go ahead by a nose in that head-to-head. And it's going to be an interesting competition now. And I would also say I wouldn't necessarily say one of these freshmen is going to be your number three quarterback. That could very well be Michael Schuster.
Right. Yeah, no question. I mean, he's a guy that is also in that mix as well. And we've seen some good things out of him. So, yeah, I mean, I think – if it really came down to it, the question will be which one of these guys. It's not that when you get to your third string quarterback, it's not about who can lead us to the Big Ten title game. It's about who can get us through these games and give us a chance to win, not who can give us a chance to win at all. Because look, when you lose your starter, you're pretty much out of that conversation. When you lose the starter and the backup, forget about it. So, no, that's a pretty good point. But I guess, and this isn't really a point of this segment, but I guess the one question I do wonder aloud is in this day and age of guys being able to transfer, you know, graduate and transfer without sitting out a year, guys being able to transfer and get immediate eligibility waivers to not sit out a year. Is James Franklin's dream of having 5 scholarship quarterbacks in the program at any given time implausible at this point? Should it be 4? I mean, should the goal – I understand they'll always probably want the goal to be 5, but is that even possible at this point considering the way things are?
I would ask a question in response to that.
Oh, good.
Is that even necessary now?
No.
Given the number of players who are going to be in that transfer market, who are going to be free to compete right away for the reasons that you just mentioned as grad transfers, and also with this precedent being set now by the NCAA that, you know, anything is considered a hardship. You know, I got a headache, so I need to be able to play right away at this new school. There will be quick fixes to go around. Ohio State is a perfect example of that. Perfectly imperfect, maybe.
Right.
That the depth matters, but the day and age where the development of your own quarterbacks is your only means to fielding that position, that's as over as it's ever been. So if Penn State – I think the dream of having 5, I think that's going to be – maybe an outdated concept just in the modern college football world.
Right.
But I also think that if you've got somebody who's in line to become the starter next at all times, which Penn State really is, if everything goes to plan, you're going to seamlessly go from a 3-year starter in Hackenberg to a 3-year starter in McSorley to a 3-year starter in Sean Clifford to what, a 2-year starter in Will Levis and on down the line or one of these freshmen.
Right.
You're going to have those links in the chain. But if there's a disruption, whether that's in depth, whether that's in nobody claiming the starting job, if there's ever a disruption in your development, there's always a quick fix available. And for Penn State, with the type of roster that they have and the success that they've had, they're going to be able to attract a high-profile transfer quarterback if they're ever in need of it.
Right. It's just such a weird dynamic because, again, you know, you just worry that if you ever get to that point, the dynamics in your locker room could just be upset. But again, I mean, I think if you ever find yourself in the position to need a transfer quarterback, you're probably pretty, you know, not well off, which means most of the guys on the team will take any upgrade because that would obviously help their push toward the postseason. So I think it probably works both ways. I don't know if you really want to be in that market ever, but if you have to be, you're right. I mean, there's always going to be guys there that want a fresh start that were – you know, very good out of high school, maybe tired of sitting behind guys, maybe didn't develop exactly how everyone thought they would, etc. So it's interesting, to say the least, to watch how all this unfolds.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We can't stop talking about quarterbacks. We spent a whole segment to start the show on Tommy Stevens and Sean Clifford. Talk about Taquan Roberson. This is our player profile series, so he was our first. Let's talk about Lance Dixon, number 10 on the roster, part of a pretty phenomenal wave of linebackers coming through this program now. I think the depth is going to be outstanding. I think the play is going to be outstanding in 2019. I also think that it's going to be at that level without getting much, if anything, from both Lance Dixon and Brandon Smith, two guys who were five-star prospects from 24/7 Sports, who were the number one and two linebackers in the country in the 2019 class, again by 24/7 Sports. Lance Dixon is an interesting player. I believe he had 2 years of linebacker experience in high school, started out as a safety. He's still on the light side, and we saw that, I think, at Blue Light, but he started to also get a sneak peek at what his upside is. He reminds me a lot in this class of Jason Oway in the 2018 class, where they are by no means finished products, but they are so electric athletically that you can't help but look ahead and forecast big things. That's going to happen probably for Jason Oway this year. That's probably going to happen for Lance Dixon next year as a redshirt freshman when there's some opportunities that arise there in that linebacker group.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the biggest curiosity in my mind is, does Brandon Smith and Lance Dixon play on special teams, or does Joe Lorig, the first year special teams coordinator, have enough horses to not use those guys in more than what their four games
allow? I bet you Lorig is fighting for that.
Well, I would think so. I mean, it's a little bit of risk and reward, right? So you can have some standout young athletes on that special teams group, but guess what? Mistakes happen when young guys are on the field, especially young guys that haven't really played special teams. And I can't imagine that Brandon Smith and Lance Dixon did a whole lot of special teams work when they were in high school, because right, they were busy playing offense and defense, for their team. So we saw that, I think, last year. I think Phil Galliano tried that a bit in the Appalachian State game, and it hurt Penn State. I mean, I know Micah Parsons is out there. Some other young guys were out there. They can fly down the field really fast, but if they're not in the right place when they're flying down the field, it opens up big holes. So I'd be curious to see how Joe Lorig mixes veteran and youth, young speed and older guys that maybe are a little bit more reliable, maybe not as quick. So he has a lot of options at his disposal, but we saw Jesse Luceda burn his redshirt last year playing just special teams, and it won't be a surprise if one of these guys do that too. Dixon, I don't know if he needs to put too much more weight on, probably a little bit.
Him probably in that 220 range?
Yeah, I'm thinking he probably needs, 6-7 pounds at it this offseason. Look, Dwight Gault, just give him an extra meal, maybe an extra lifting session a week, and everything will be just fine.
That won't be a problem.
Fourth meals for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that sounds amazing. I want to be a part of his program. Outside of the lifting, I want to be part of his program. Last one here, Daniel George, number 11. Kind of a forgotten guy in the 2018 class just because of Justin Shorter's shadow being cast on everyone. But he's in that kind of 6'2", 215 range. He's got the body type that a lot of pro wide receivers have now. I remember being impressed just the balance in his athletic profile as he was going through testing before his senior year of high school. You saw him obviously on the receiving end of the most prolific play in the history of Penn State football. But he could very well be an odd man out this year. I don't know what his 2019 holds. I'm not sure exactly what his upside is. He's kind of in the middle. He's not that big freak. He's not that little jitterbug that we've seen. He's kind of a well-balanced player.
Well, I think – I hate to say this, but I think his production this year could very well be tied to Justin Shorter's health. I mean, we've heard he's been dinged up a good bit. So time will tell if Shorter's the guy that steps up and lives up to that five-star promise. I think there's a role for George, not a big one, but also depends too, George Campbell, what kind of role does he have?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions still at that wide receiver position. Still more questions about the quarterback spot as well. John McGonigal from the Center Daily Times joins us in just a moment.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.